Impeachment mania sweeps the media. Will it actually sweep the nation? And Adam Schiff, he actually lays out the procedures for how fixed his hearings will be.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Adam Schiff and his team, whoever, met with the whistleblower. We've had no access to the whistleblower. Number two, we want to know what was the DNC's involvement and the Clinton campaign's involvement in Ukraine, and why did the Ukrainians interfere in our election?
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
As of right now, we have none of our witnesses, right? So, I mean, look, we even put on Ambassador Volker. This guy was the Democrats' first witness. You've all seen the transcripts. He came in voluntarily. Why on earth would Volker not be there? He was the special envoy to Ukraine. Why would you not give the Republicans a witness?
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Understand this, folks. We are less than 24 hours away. Those hearings begin at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And in an official memo today sent from Adam Schiff, who will chair the committee tomorrow alongside ranking member Devin Nunes. And it's kind of a procedural memo of how things will be laid out. But there's a key part in this. Minority witnesses. As set forth in House Resolution 660, the committee's minority may request witnesses to testify during open hearing conducted by the committee in connection with the impeachment inquiry. And it has to it had to get to them in a certain period of time. It did on November 9th. On November 6th, the committee noticed its first public hearing on that same day, asked the ranking members to submit the request in accordance with the resolution. Republicans did that. They submitted their minority witness requests. And this is the key line. Now, this is the day before the hearing. The committee is evaluating the minority's requested witnesses and will give due consideration to witnesses within the scope of the impeachment inquiry, a.k.a. not a single Republican at time of this broadcast, while I'm talking to you right now, and if that changes while we're on the air, we'll let you know. Not a single Republican witness who's been requested has been granted access to testify tomorrow or later in these proceedings. And one of those witnesses was the first witness, Ambassador Volker, called by Adam Schiff. The three that we believe, Than, who are most likely out of the Republicans' list of nine to be that were most likely that Schiff would almost have to allow or just face looking so partisan, absolutely absurd that they would have no witnesses from minority. These were not witnesses that were ever called by Republicans. Every one of those three individuals were called by Adam Schiff himself, called by Democrats, and yet they didn't love, I guess, everything they had to say, so now they don't want them to come back.
Jordan, very simply put, Chairman Schiff is not allowing Republicans to call Democrat witnesses. Look, this list of nine witnesses that Republicans have asked for, some of them are names, some of them are groups, but Jordan, three of them are witnesses that the Democrats called: David Hale, Tim Mortensen, and Kurt Volker. Republicans were in those depositions, so-called depositions behind closed doors, and believe that those three Democrat witnesses helped tell the complete story. At this moment, Jordan, 22 hours as we speak, before this hearing kicks off, Chairman Schiff has not even allowed those three Democrat witnesses. Jordan, I got to tell you, maybe I'll be surprised this afternoon. I don't think he's going to allow any of them now. I don't think there's any reason to exclude those through, but the terminology of this memo suggests to me that that's where he's leaning, Jordan.
One of those, I mean, Ambassador Volker, I mean, they wanted him to testify alongside the two other witnesses tomorrow. I mean, certainly you need to give him some notice so he would be prepared to testify, because this was a public hearing. The idea that it would be somehow controversial for him to testify when, as Than said it, Adam Schiff, at this point, is not allowing Republicans to call even Democrat witnesses to testify. This is outrageous. It is more of a sham every time Adam Schiff puts out a memo. Every time he opens his mouth, it'll be more of a sham tomorrow. We, again, will take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Share this broadcast with your friends and family. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, click share now and support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge at aclj.org.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
I encourage people to continue. I know we're talking to a big radio audience as well. I want to take your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. This is the final day before the public hearings on impeachment begin. And Adam Schiff put out a memo saying that the committee is still evaluating the minority's requested witnesses and will give due consideration to witnesses within the scope of the impeachment inquiry. One of those witnesses, the three that we believe are most likely to actually be okayed by Adam Schiff, or basically the only three that have a chance of being okayed, it's not the whistleblower. It's not the whistleblower's anonymous sources or whatever. It's not going to be the Ukrainian DNC staffer digging up dirt on Donald Trump. It's not going to be Nelly Orr. It's not going to be Hunter Biden or his business associate. But why wouldn't it be three people who were already called by the Democrats, who have already testified to the closed-door session? And as Republicans note in an 18-page memo, it's very important for the American people to be able to see these key witnesses, who have, especially the ones who have already testified, because body language is important, tone is important, eye contact is important. The way that they say, you know, you could read a transcript, but it's not a novel. So it's not really giving you the feeling, or was it passionately said, or was it kind of offhanded remark? Was it kind of a begrudgingly, yeah, okay, I guess so? Or was it a strong, absolutely? You know, I mean, that you really can't get from transcripts. You get it from novels, but that's not what transcripts are. So you need to see the individuals. And yet Adam Schiff, as of this moment, and we are live right now, and we are less than 24 hours away from the first hearings beginning, has not yet granted one request from the Republicans for any witnesses. And one of those requests is for a witness that Adam Schiff himself called to testify tomorrow alongside Bill Taylor and George Kent. And that is, Ambassador Kurt Volker. And again, he is key in this because of his knowledge of EU Ambassador Gordon Sondland, the way he worked with Bill Taylor. I think he actually informed Bill Taylor. So, I mean, like, Kurt Volker is the primary interlocker and trusted confidant of the Ukrainian government. He has firsthand knowledges of the circumstances surrounding Ukraine. And it's like, this is their bosses, you know? And yet still, like in Morrison's case, he's the boss of Vinland. And yet they don't want, you know, him to testify. And I think he was actually, was he the one who was actually on the phone call? I mean, so this is, it's just getting absurd that we're less than 24 hours out. And what is it? Adam Schiff doesn't want to just deny them all while we have time to attack? Or he's just going to last minute say, okay, maybe if you're available, you can come testify. Unlike the others who have had a week to prepare. Than, I want to go to you on this because I think it's just absurd. And folks, you need to share this with your friends and family because this is what I'm nervous about always the day before these. First of all, I think this will probably turn out to be a disaster for Democrats long term. But I don't trust Adam Schiff at all. He's a liar. You got four Pinocchios from the Washington Post. He's coordinating this with the whistleblower. He's probably coordinating it with other deep state actors at the CIA. And again, don't trust anything. But usually when they try to put on the big pony, the dog and pony show, it's a disaster for Democrats. Bob Mueller being a perfect example. And this guy was, Bob Mueller, much more of a professional and giving testimony. And they begged, you know, that he must give, he must be here. The last minute, well, he needs an assistant. And that didn't help very well either. But they thought Bob Mueller was going to come to some conclusions that he wouldn't come to. Here's the issue I have, Dan. Is that under the spotlight, these people may very well start hedging what sounds very clear in a transcript that, oh, yeah, I thought this was a quid pro quo. Or because we heard that a lot of the times Adam Schiff was like forcing them into that answer, that they may start hedging a lot of that once they've got 25 cameras on them, really bright lights, it's hot, they're sweating, and they got Devin Nunes and Republicans breathing down their necks, as well as the Republican attorneys cross-examining them.
Well, and I'd really encourage people as they watch these proceedings tomorrow, Jordan, if they're going to watch them, to do them against the backdrop of what we already know from these depositions. Because, look, even in the case of Bill Taylor and George Kent, if you read the depositions, Jordan, they don't believe there was a quid pro quo. They may have a disagreement with the president. They may not like the way the policy was carried out. They may have even not wanted the security funds to take as long as they did to be delivered. But, Jordan, even in the depositions, they say that they are not aware of a quid pro quo. So if you're going to put somebody additional on, like Kurt Volker, who would go even further down that line, of course, it would start to unravel even further. But even tomorrow, Jordan, even if what you're describing does not happen, the people that are watching this need to take it in context with what they have already provided testimony of behind closed doors. And I would just throw one other thing out for your consideration, Jordan. I mean, we've talked a lot leading up to these procedures about how there's been no due process. So when you read this letter that Chairman Schiff put out and says that he is giving due consideration to the witnesses that the Republicans have asked to call, even though many of them are Democrat witnesses, Jordan, less than a day before one of those witnesses is supposed to testify, is that due consideration? I would say it's about as much due consideration as the due process that's been granted up until this point.
No, absolutely. I mean, folks, they've made their decision already. They just won't tell us. I mean, that's the truth. They've made the decision. They've made a call that they're either not going to allow any Republicans, and then they're going to say it's because Republican witnesses that they would like to testify have not. So it's like whether it's Bolton or his staffer, or it's Mick Mulvaney, and again, those are cases that are going on in court right now. So I think that for the most part, that's a tough argument for them to make. The transcript was released by the White House. The president said he'll even release another transcript of a different phone call when Zelensky was elected. They've made the decision. It's not like they may at the last minute let us know, like they've done something great. And see, this is why if Adam Schiff at any point today says, oh, yeah, we're going to let Kurt Volker testify, don't think that that's some nice move by Adam Schiff. That's playing dirty politics with something that's supposed to be serious. He already knows the decisions he's going to make, especially on these three, on Volker, on Morrison, on Hale, because he called all three of those to testify already. These are Democrat witnesses that are being stalled and prevented from testifying to the public by Democrats, by Adam Schiff. Just think about that, Dan.
Those are his witnesses, Jordan. Now he's only deciding if he wants the American people to hear what he has already heard from them behind closed doors. Never forget, those are his witnesses. But, Jordan, I would just underscore a point that you made a minute ago. There's a script here, but only one side knows how that script is supposed to play out tomorrow. So even if there is a grant of some of these witnesses that have been requested by Republicans, doing it this late in the game, Jordan, especially for tomorrow's hearing, sets up the best possibility that that script that Chairman Schiff has laid out will be upset. His goal here is to try to get the witnesses to say things that are according to the script and to deny Republicans the sufficient amount of time to upset that script. And I would say one other thing, Jordan. The ranking member and the chairman can defer to counsel during this first large block of time, 90 minutes equally divided. I think you'll see a lot of that time be used by Chairman Schiff's attorney. And Jordan, in these kind of settings, we've said before, the Supreme Court hearings for Brett Kavanaugh were one of them. Sometime this can be a good idea procedurally. But, Jordan, it should be afforded to all parties. Chairman Schiff gets to use an attorney to question these witnesses. Yet to this point, President Trump has not been afforded counsel in the room. What is good for him should be good for the target of the investigation as well. But that has not been true to this point, and it will not be true tomorrow as well.
Folks, I want to get down to the truth of this. Please share this with your friends and family right now. You know, if you're listening to the radio show, encourage your friends and family to go to our Facebook pages later today and watch this broadcast. Because my problem with this whole charade, and the Republicans have got a great counter. They've got this 4-point. We'll go to it when we come back for the break. 4 key pieces of evidence. They released an 18-page memo today. Very intensive. And it says 4 key pieces of evidence that are fatal to the Democrats' allegations. They take away the hyperbole, the hysteria, and the indisputable pieces of evidence that show there was no treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanor. We will go through those 4 key pieces of evidence when we come back from the break. So don't stop listening. You want to know what are those 4 key pieces of evidence. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends so that they learn what are these 4 key pieces of evidence that Republicans believe are absolutely fatal to the Democrats' attempts to impeach and then ultimately remove the President of the United States without real due process. Folks, we're in the middle of a matching challenge. The Planned Parenthood case out in California on those horrible videos that exposed Planned Parenthood. Closing arguments are today. We need your financial support. We're about to head to the International Criminal Court at The Hague. You got the impeachment hearings. You got this broadcast. If you donate to the ACLJ in the month of November, your support is doubled. It is a matching challenge month. Donate today financially to the ACLJ. We need your support. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org.
say a number of times for these kind of broadcasts, if you're listening on radio, make sure you send your family to like facebook.com/JSeculo or facebook.com/JordanSeculo ACLJ later today to watch this broadcast, because this is a really important broadcast to prepare yourself for what you're going to be inundated with over the next few days in the first open public hearings on impeachment, which are denying due process, do not allow the president's counsels to cross-examine any of these witnesses. So far, Adam Schiff has not allowed any, has not granted okays for any of the Republican-requested witnesses, who, by the way, the three that are most likely are all witnesses that Adam Schiff called himself that have already testified behind closed doors. So they were Democrat witnesses that he's refusing to let testify as of this moment. One of them, they've asked Republicans to testify tomorrow alongside the first two because of the relevance of having him there and the ranking. It would make sense for the flow of things to have the three of them together. So understand, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope right now, and I know we're talking to a lot more people than that, but if you are, click the share button. People need to understand, because once they start getting inundated with it tomorrow, things will start breaking left and right and left and right. And, oh, did you see that? No, did you see this? And did this person just say that? And what did Adam Schiff, what lie did Adam Schiff open up the hearing with? And will it actually be called out by the mainstream media? Likely not. I mean, remember, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox Local, they're all going to be going to this kind of stuff tomorrow. So it's not just going to be the cable news viewers or the conservative radio listeners who are going to be checking this out, or in the far left. It's going to be everyone, everywhere they turn, is going to see these hearings that will last about probably 4 hours if you put in all the timing in. It's about 3.5 hours if they don't have any extra time and breaks and all of that. So it's going to be about 4 hours of two witnesses up there. Democrats trying to convince you, Republicans, and you, I know we have a lot of independent voters and nonpartisan voters who aren't necessarily registered with the party. You may consider yourself a conservative, but not a Republican, or more independent or more libertarian. Try and convince you why you should support the impeachment of the president, or at least, if not that, don't vote for him. You know, don't vote for him. That's really what the goal is here. They know they can't remove the president from office. The Senate's not going to do that. They have no smoking gun. And if they did, they would have pulled it out a lot quicker. That doesn't mean that Adam Schiff doesn't have something up his sleeve and his usual shifty shift tactics. But again, the first two witnesses, if these are your most two compelling, and then the Friday witness is a fired former ambassador and supposedly... Then they called her because she got emotional during her hearing. One, that sounds sexist. But two, she got fired because she was an Obama holdover ambassador. Ultimately, she was going to be replaced. Second, I mean, because you put in your people that you trust to carry out your policies. Second, she has nothing to do with any of this. She wasn't on the phone call. She was long removed from the whole process. They just want somebody emotional, which, again, to me is sexist, actually. And by the way, she lied to Congressman Lee Zeldin in closed-door testimony. So how many lies will she do when she's got cameras on her face and has to think a lot quicker on her feet?
It's also got a great chance to backfire if that's the case, Jordan. I mean, tomorrow's going to be a lot more intense, and I frankly feel for some of these witnesses than the behind-closed-doors deposition was. But to your point, Jordan, I mean, the witnesses that we are going to see, remember, George Kent has already testified. He will be asked about this again tomorrow, and I'm sure he will say the same thing, or at least I hope for his sake that he does. He said that ambassadors serve purely at the President of the United States and can be removed for any reason. So that certainly sheds a light on what Ambassador Yovanovitch has to do with this. And then Ambassador Taylor, Jordan, when he was walking through the questioning behind closed doors about what a quid pro quo is and whether or not the Ukrainian government was aware of a delay in the security, he testified that it was correct that the Ukrainian government was not aware of any delay or any reason attached to it. So, Jordan, in layman's terms, that is Bill Taylor saying the Ukrainian government knew that there was no quid pro quo.
All right, we're going to take a call, and then we're going to go to those four key pieces of evidence that Republicans have released today that they believe are fatal to the Democrat allegations against the president, the White House, and others. But Don, who called yesterday, didn't make it on the air. He's called back in, so I want to make sure we get to Don. Let's get him. Did we get info for him for a book? Let's make sure we do. Get you a signed copy of my new book, The Next Red Wave, where we predict the deep state wasn't done after Mueller, that they'd keep coming after President Trump, and that even after this Ukraine thing, they will keep coming after him up until Election Day, after Election Day, while he, I believe, will be in his second term, they'll keep coming after him as well. Don, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Jordan?
Good.
A couple of them. Well, I'll just say it this way. The visual I see, because I watch the entire thing, you know, like the whole wide net.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like a hollow egg or a rotten egg. And that's my visual. The wide net with the Barr, Durham, the IG, and everything they're doing out there on the outside of the net is kind of like the eggshell to me. And once they break that, once the reports come out, once the indictments start, once it starts, would that not have a tendency to implode this entire thing or erode it?
Well, I think, listen, I always am careful about IG reports, Dan. One is because they don't have prosecutorial power. So a lot of times they will expose very bad conduct. And they'll focus on, you know, whether it was the... Then they'll make criminal referrals. They can make referrals like this maybe needs to be investigated, but that's as far as it goes. They can't actually investigate that. What I think we'll find likely in the Horowitz IG report is that there were plenty of grounds to fire these individuals who were fired from the FBI and DOJ. I don't know if he'll go much further than that, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes on FISA, but we just don't know. And the report, it's not out yet.
Well, the IG reports, they do tend to protect their own, Jordan. I mean, mm-hmm. I've got quite a bit of hope that this next one will have damaging information. But look, I would encourage Don and the other listeners to think back to the Inspector General report that we already received involving James Comey's activities. When it came out, Jordan, Director Comey claimed that it exonerated him. But for anyone who actually read the report, it actually showed conclusively that he violated the law intentionally and willfully by not turning over documents did not belong to him. When he was fired, he retained them. He also leaked information. Jordan, if you actually read the report, you saw that it found conclusively that he was in violation of the law, and yet he himself claimed that it exonerated him. So when this next report comes out, I say all of that to say people need to read the actual information, because even if the news headlines or the people involved, including Director Comey, say that it says one thing, very likely, Jordan, the information that it will reveal will say entirely another.
All right, folks, we come back, second half hour, we're going to take a lot of phone calls, and I'm going to go through, I didn't have time to do it yet, but I think so make sure you tune in for the second half hour coming up in just 45 seconds, because we're going to get into what are these four fatal flaws of the entire arguments by the Democrats that Republicans released today. They're simple bullet points, four simple bullet points, no hyperbole, just straight out, here are the facts that are fatal to the Democrats' against case for impeachment. So we're going to get to those. So continue to share this with your friends and family on Facebook and Periscope. Again, if you're listening to the radio broadcast, make sure to get your friends to go back and watch the broadcast today to prepare themselves for these public hearings. And remember to support the work of the ACLJ. We've got a matching challenge right now. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ is doubled. Final day of the Planned Parenthood argument, closing argument, is today. Donate today at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
As of right now, we have none of our witnesses, right? So, I mean, look, we even put on Ambassador Volker. This guy was the Democrats' first witness. You've all seen the transcripts. He came in voluntarily. Why on earth would Volker not be there? He was the special envoy to Ukraine. Why would you not give the Republicans a witness?
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Understand what Devin Nunes is saying there, folks? The Republicans have put in their witness request list to Adam Schiff per the rules, the House resolution. And the three that were most likely, including Ambassador Volker, were all originally, none of those were Republican witnesses because they had no chance to do that in the closed door sessions, you know, in the basement of the Capitol, that we'd get some transcripts from. These were all witnesses, including Volker, who was the first witness called by Adam Schiff and Democrats to testify. And they're not even yet answering Republicans on those requests. As of now, the Democrats have said no because they're not answering. Now, will they surprise us? They may try and make it feel like that. Like, so see, look what we're doing. Remember, the only three people they might even let testify from this Republican list are people they called to testify. It's not like these are special Republican witnesses to bring in and take down the Democrats' narrative. These are people Democrats brought in to testify. They might not have liked their testimonies as much, but in one case, you know, the Republicans are predicting they're going to ask this Vindman guy to come back, who's, by the way, being removed from the National Security Council, thankfully, as people who are against the president shouldn't be on that and his policies, because this is what this is about. But what about his boss, who you also called to testify? Are you going to let him testify? I mean, but let me get to this, and then we'll get to your phone calls. Republicans released this 18-page memo today. The memo, it says, key points of evidence from the Democrats' closed-door, quote, impeachment inquiry. And on page two, they have this. I think this is so important. I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast. I'm going to highlight this. I'll be on some other broadcast tomorrow. It looks like I'll be on Fox Business before the hearings begin. Four key pieces of evidence that are fatal to the Democrats' allegations. Stripping away the hyperbole and the hysteria, these indisputable pieces of evidence show that there was no treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors as required by the U.S. Constitution. These facts are, one, the July 25th call summary, the best evidence of the conversation, shows no conditionality or evidence of pressure. That's on like the, you don't get this money unless you investigate. And no evidence of pressure to do that. Number two, President Zelensky of Ukraine and President Trump have both said there was no pressure on the call. So if the president of the Ukraine was looking to throw the president of the U.S. under the bus because he was withholding money and they didn't like that in Ukraine, but of course, they ultimately got the money like 2 days later. It was like absurd how short of a period of time this was. But they both said there's no pressure on the call. Number three, the Ukrainian government was not even aware of a hold on U.S. security assistance at the time of the call on July 25th. So the fact that the United States government was having an internal debate about providing the assistance to Ukraine is key. Because it wasn't like they were telling Ukraine, you ain't getting this if you don't do this. So you will not get this if you don't do this. That's not the case was. And then number four, President Trump met with President Zelensky and U.S. security assistance flowed to Ukraine in September of 2019, both of which occurred without Ukraine investigating any of President Trump's political rivals. The call was in July, the end of July. The money went to Ukraine in September, and no investigations ever started. None came to a conclusion. Joe Biden, his son, did not get investigated. Those are four fatal flaws. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. Remember our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. First-time donor, if you've donated many times before, it's a great time because you double the impact of your donation. Donate today, ACLJ.org.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And we're going to go right to the calls. People have been holding on. People that have been holding on today, they're all going to get a copy of my book, The Next Red Wave. And I'll sign those for you as we go. Really in order, as people have been holding on, I will tell you that Thomas and Dave, you've been holding on just 10 seconds longer. Thomas has been holding on. So we'll go to you, Thomas, and then Dave, you next. Thomas in Texas, line 4, you are on the air.
Yes, you know, we all know that this is unethical and some say unconstitutional. Would you consider what Schiff and what they're doing in this impeachment inquiry, would you consider that bordering on illegal?
I think that there are parts that will be judged by courts. So this idea that you cannot assert a constitutional right, and that might, and this will come later in the House Judiciary Committee hearings, and that by asserting a constitutional right, whether it's the right Fifth Amendment, whether it's a right, the executive privilege, and letting a court decide first before you are compelled to testify or hand over documents, that asserting a right will be violating their rules, and thus they can cut out the attorneys, like for the president or the White House counsel or for the agencies, from having any role in the House Judiciary Committee's hearings, if there are any hearings, that again, that to me starts going down that list of questionable moves. But for the most part, the Constitution gives a lot of leeway to the House and the Senate to conduct this, and really it puts it on them. What the Constitution says is, you know, this is how many votes you have to have in the House. You've got to have a much higher bar in the Senate, and that's why really no president has ever been removed, even the two that were impeached by the House.
Yeah, for the most part, it's a political question as granted by Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution to set the House and Senate's own rules. Of course, I think the rules in the Senate, Jordan, are going to be quite a bit different. I would say this, however. I don't think there's any question that this is a very serious violation of procedural norms. And I would say this. I think Adam Schiff thinks that he's running a grand jury. He has likened it to that in his own words, Jordan. Well, if you're running a grand jury proceeding, when it does go to trial, when it does go out into the open, the other side gets to present their case at that point. Jordan, that part of this process, if you're equating it to a grand jury, starts tomorrow And yet the other side doesn't get to have counsel present, doesn't get to call witnesses. So look, he can't have it both ways. While it is a political question, while the House has a lot of authority, Jordan, if he's going to operate like a grand jury, he needs to afford the rights to the other side that would be afforded in that situation. The one thing I would say about this, and the one saving grace of all of this, Jordan, it was intentional that the founders made this a political question, gave the power to the House and Senate, because those are the individuals, Jordan, that are the closest to political accountability. And come next November, Chairman Schiff and every other member of the House that's gone along with this, they've got to go back to the voters, and the voters get the final say.
You know, and they use Schiff and those types because they're in very safe seats.
Yep.
So they let them, even when they're caught in lies, get four Pinocchios from the Washington Post about their contact. This all should have been over when it came out that Adam Schiff and his staff had contact with this. I will say it again, and folks, just to explain it to the Twittersphere. Fake whistleblower. Doesn't mean the person doesn't exist, but they're not an actual whistleblower for purpose of the statute. Because the only way you can be an intelligence community whistleblower is you have to be reporting on an intelligence community activity that you believe is illegal or violates the policies. And it has to be intelligence agents that you're reporting on. Well, the president of the Ukraine and the president of the U.S. are not intelligence agents. They do not work for the intelligence agency. And, of course, the actions had nothing to do with intelligence at all, or the work of the intelligence agencies. So this whistleblower should not be covered under any statute. And that's not just my opinion. It's also the opinion of the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel, which reviewed this. But again, so it should never have gotten to whistleblower. There were all these other people on the call, not the whistleblower, by the way. None of them thought it was so bad that they needed to run to Congress and tell Congress to start an impeachment. None of them thought it was so bad that if they couldn't do it anonymously, which means A, they want to keep their job, at least, or they didn't want to quit. They didn't think it was bad enough that they needed to quit their job to come out and expose this, and even, you know, question. We got them all hiding behind executive privilege. Even like Bolton, I have no idea where he's going with this. I usually like John Bolton and his, you know, policies, but whether he's playing a game long term that, you know, could be. But the idea, again, did you see him running out? No, we just get reports that he didn't like this or he had concerns, not actual firsthand from him. So to me, it all goes to this. Adam Schiff began this on a lie. The whistleblower contacted his staff before even filing the complaint. The whistleblower was in touch with his staff, and Adam Schiff lied about it for no good reason. He lied about it. Just like how the ambassador to Ukraine will be testifying on Friday lied about her contacts with House Democratic staffers for no good reason. But if you lie about those small things, the insinuation is you will lie about the big stuff, the important stuff. I mean, Adam Schiff got four Pinocchios. We're going to base an impeachment off the beginning of the impeachment was a giant lie by the impeachers, by the Democrats. They should be ashamed of themselves. But we've become so partisan as a country. We can be ashamed of them that they are, and ashamed of the people who elect them, and maybe how out of touch the electorate is with reality. But again, this is the place we find ourselves. This is where we find ourselves. I mean, how many times have we played for you? I'm not even going to do it again. Adam Schiff saying we had no contact with the whistleblower. We'd like to. Then we're going to let the whistleblower testify. Then, oh, I'm sorry, I should have been clear. I did talk to the whistleblower and my staff did have communication with the whistleblower. And the whistleblower doesn't need to testify. That was his train. That should have been it. The president's right. I mean, it should be over before it even started, because I think, you know, I saw something by like Rush Limbaugh said, like, this is similar like what they were trying to do to Kavanaugh. It's like they want to stop it so bad. They want the impeachment so bad. They will really mess it up. And I think that is their biggest risk, is that so far, every time they've been able to open their mouth publicly, Adam Schiff got caught lying. He got caught making up a testimony. It has been backfiring. It is not like they've moved the statistics or the numbers where a majority are like, yes, and this is a growing majority of Americans want the president removed, not by election and their choice, but by members of Congress who are pretty out of touch with the American people. Again, I will go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. As I said, Dave in California, you'll be next. You'll get a copy of The Next Red Wave, which, as I said, and I will keep padding because you need to get a copy of this book, The Next Red Wave. We said the deep state is going to keep coming and keep coming at this president. Can't get any more deep state than this mid-level guy at the CIA who's done this to start an impeachment inquiry. But they won't stop after this one either because they're going to fail on this. But they're not going to stop, and they're not going to stop after Election Day when President Trump's reelected. Yes, you heard me. We could play that back, in less than a year from now. Dave, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. I've heard some talk that the Democrats might be inclined to reject witnesses based upon their supposed belief that it would further unfounded conspiracy theories or run out the clock or prevent them from speeding up the process if they were fearful of losing the House this year, or even for that matter, perpetually impeaching the president should they win the House this year.
Well,
what are ACLJ's thoughts on these matters?
Yeah, here's what I think, and I'll go to Thane on this too. Really, out of the nine that were submitted by the House Republicans, Schiff was pretty clear immediately that six of those weren't going anywhere. So we really are narrowing it down to three. And Dave, the three we're narrowing it down to are three that were already did testify behind closed doors. So we're just asking, Republicans are asking, that they get a chance to testify to the American people. They were all called by the Democrats because Republicans didn't get to call any witnesses in the behind closed doors hearings. So, Than, these are Democrat witnesses so far who are being denied by Adam Schiff. And so I don't think it's a timing thing. I don't think that you could say that these are the conspiracy witnesses. This has nothing to do with the Bidens. These are not people that have to do with investigating the whether or not the Bidens were up to no good or Ukraine dirt on the Trump campaign in 2016. These are three witnesses that Democrats called to testify.
Jordan, those three witnesses fall in the camp of not testifying vociferously enough against the president. That's why they're not testifying tomorrow. I would tell you, though, Jordan, there's another category. It's not these three, but number nine, the Republicans want to call people who the whistleblower depended on to draft the complaint. Those people aren't going to be called to testify because they point the finger at Chairman Schiff's involvement prior to. That's why they're not being called, Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even though they may actually say things he likes, policy-wise, because that's what this is really about, a policy dispute. The fact is they're all going to say, yeah, we were working with you, Schiff. We're all working with you. That's not really what he said. That's not how he started this investigation. Remember, we've got another segment coming up, taking phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Matching challenge. Support the work of the ACLJ. Final day in the Planned Parenthood. Closing argument today, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org.
fair to everybody. We've had so many phone calls been coming in today. We've got our lines are full. We're going to take those calls. I'm not going to give out the number again. It wouldn't be fair to those listening right now. So for Bob, David, Mike, and Nancy, all of you will make it on the air today, and you'll all receive a copy of The Next Red Wave. We're preparing you for the first round of the so-called public impeachment hearings, where there will be no cross-examination by the president's representatives, whether it's the White House counsel, the president's legal team, or agency representatives. And so far, not a single Republican a witness has been granted the okay from Adam Schiff. The three most likely were all witnesses that Adam Schiff had already called. So they are Democrat witnesses that Adam Schiff called to testify in the closed-door session. But again, there's hijinks afoot is what you have to prepare for. Because there's this talking point out there from House Democrats. And then right before we go to the calls, that's the one that always makes me just be prepared, everybody. Not that it's going to work, but that they're going to pull some goofy hijink or try to pull a stunt, because they've let this talking point sit out there and they really haven't pulled back on it. So you haven't seen like an official person say, no, we know this is going to take time to really build. They're rushing this process, and they think that the first hour tomorrow, and most of that first hour tomorrow is just Adam Schiff talking. 45 minutes of the first hour tomorrow, Than, is Adam Schiff. So, again, they think that is the critical hour. So they think Adam Schiff is going to be able to sell this to the American people, or could he call someone in to speak for him?
Well, look, at the very outset of this hearing, Jordan, he's going to give his opening statement. And if he's got anything up his sleeve, I think that is when it would happen. That's when he read the parody of the transcript instead of reading the direct evidence the last time. You're right, then. The first round of questioning, it's 90 minutes divided between Chairman Schiff and Ranking Member Nunes. So, you know, combine those two, you know, somewhere close to an hour will be Chairman Schiff talking. Look, the only thing I would say about that, Jordan, it seems like the more he does that, the weaker this case gets. So if people want to tune in, that would be when he would play, you know, a card if he had it up his sleeve. But, Jordan, I would tell you an hour of Chairman Schiff at the beginning might be the very best case for the president to make.
Yeah, while we take the next call, let's put up the schedule of the hearing while we talk to the next caller for people who watch on Facebook and Periscope, just so they know kind of how the hearing is going to be laid out for Wednesday. There'll be two witnesses at the same time, so we'll keep that up while we take the next caller. Let's go to Mike in Nevada on line three. Mike, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, you know, so I was just kind of curious. You kind of answered a little bit of my question earlier on one of the other calls, but you know, with as much as this guy has lied, Adam Schiff, you know, how does he have any constitutional authority to even be telling people who can witness and who can't? And I mean, this whole thing seems fraudulent from the get-go. So, I mean, why don't they just put the ixnay on it?
Well, I do think that the whole thing is a fraud on the American people because it's not serious. Democrat Nancy Pelosi didn't want to go down this route. She got pushed into it by the left. If she still has any political sense left, she would have probably fought back a little harder, but she might not have had any more, been able to fight back any harder, honestly, because I think she realizes this always hurts the party who tries this, especially who tries to take out a president who was elected by the American people within a year of the next election. I mean, hello, what about all these Democrats running? There's like more getting in the race as we speak. That's how strong their field is that Deval Patrick from Massachusetts, you may never have heard of him if you were not from there, the former Democrat governor there, by the way, who after his term, a Republican, was elected governor of Massachusetts, which is not a place you usually think of Republican governors, but sometimes it does happen. But he's thinking now about getting back in the race. So is it a distraction from that as well? I think so to an extent. They don't want you really focused in on how bad they're doing on their own primary and how unappealing. Because I think if those candidates were, any of them were doing great, you would just let them kind of unload on President Trump politically, the normal political process on policies they disagree with and changes they want and things like that. That's who you'd want your attention on, right? That's where you'd want the American people to focus and who you'd want to become like household names, especially if it was someone other than Joe Biden. But if it's Elizabeth Warren, it's like, let's hide her in her $30 trillion tax program and all this, and that, and we'll have impeachment instead. But the thing is, Congress gets to basically set the rules. We can call them out on it. This one is pretty bogus because we know the Senate is not going to remove this president. It's a Republican Senate. It has a much higher threshold. Let's walk people through that. It takes just a normal majority vote to impeach a president, but then you have a trial. Then you get to the point where you could have a trial, though you can shut the trial down by a normal majority vote, 51 votes in the Senate could shut down even having a trial. To actually remove a president takes a whole lot more votes.
Two-thirds votes, Jordan. So you're going to have to pick up a whole slew of Democrats in the United States Senate as well. That's not going to happen. I actually do think a motion to dismiss with 51 votes in the Senate is ultimately how this one will end. But just quickly, I'd say to our last caller, we said that Chairman Schiff is accountable to his voters, Jordan. He's also accountable to the other members of the U.S. House of Representatives. And I will tell you this, 31 Democrats in districts that elected Donald Trump as president, are they all going to go down to the well of the House and vote against the president? I'm not sure, but they should be the ones holding him accountable now, Jordan.
It makes me wonder sometimes why if they'll even get to that vote, or will they just keep the hearings going as long as they can but never make people actually vote because of that issue? And I think they can still make those calculations along the way that, oh, we just could not get enough evidence because of the stonewalling, and we're not going to just put an article up for stonewalling. Let's just beat him in 2020 and ultimately not have to have that vote. I mean, so many things could happen. Though I do think that they would want to impeach if they've got the votes to impeach, because Adam Schiff is obsessed with it. And the far left, which has taken over the Democrat Party, is obsessed with it. Final two calls of the day. We're going to make them as quick as possible. I'll go to Bob first. He deserves a little bit more time. He's been on a long time. Bob, we're going to get you two books, both my book, The Next Red Wave, and my dad's book, Jerusalem, signed by us. Welcome to JSEC Live. Thanks for holding.
Thanks for taking my call. I just have a comment, Jay.
Go ahead.
In the past, I voted Democrat, Republican. But from what I've seen from the Democrats and their tactics, and it seems like they have no honor. I don't think I can ever vote Democrat again.
Well, I think, listen, that's up to you. We don't tell people who to vote for, but I think it's very fair that, you know, you voted both ways. A lot of people do. Election to election, presidential years, a lot of times, again, people try to assess the two candidates, and that will a lot of times then impact the rest of their votes down the ballot. So one year they may vote more Democrat, one year they may vote more Republican, and then I think Donald Trump kind of changed up a lot of that too, where a lot of people who never even had really taken voting that seriously decided to vote, or who were Democrats suddenly voted Republican and said, you know what? I mean, vote for some more Republicans, too, that will help him. And they learned that, wait, all Republicans aren't helping him, and they're not all great. And so they're kind of getting educated. And again, can we take David's call really quick? Can't get to it. David, call in tomorrow. We'll get you the special number, and we'll get you right as the first caller of the day. There's just a lot of phone calls today and a lot of information. I wanted to make sure we got you as educated as possible in the time we have on this broadcast, which is less than an hour. We have a full hour radio, but we got commercial breaks and all that to get you educated before these public hearings and these shenanigans begin tomorrow. But it is serious. It is serious because they are trying to remove a duly elected president of the United States without a vote of the American people. Support the work of the ACLJ. We've got the ICC coming up, closing arguments of the Planned Parenthood case today, and a matching challenge. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled. Go to ACLJ.org and donate today. That's
at the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.